Well, I forgot to hit the record button, but that's okay. We're doing that now. I love it when my darling wife laughs at my misfortune. It makes me feel like all is right with the world.
Oh, wait.
Now I'll probably inhale that little mosquito that's flying around in here and get some loathsome disease that makes my nose fall off.
I'll take care of you, good.
Thank you, dear.
Good you married a nurse.
Yes, I'm so glad. I love you.
I love you.
So I ran the firmware update. And it's a little too complicated. There are a handful of people in the Horn Family Community Congregation who would probably know what I'm talking about, but suffice to say that the setting that we used to get the stream out was no longer there. Well, okay. So we'll use a different sound card setting, and that's what we're on right now. But you might notice that there was no intro music. That's because I have no playback. Because firmware update. And me without no rot gut tequila. Oh, what a magnificent, magnificent evening this is. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, what a fucking insanity. Just because folks can create a decent audio device doesn't mean they can write good code for it. Well, they've put in, oh, there's all kinds of nifty, groovy new things that are going to be really, really helpful. But it would have been nice to have the full duplex on the USB so that I could do things like play the show open or the occasional bit of audio. That appears to be gone now. I don't know if we have telephony because I've been too busy screaming. I know we goddamn sure don't have Skype through the USB connection. We may have it through the phone connection, and we may have Bluetooth connectivity for the stress line. Like I said, I don't really know. All I know is that these guys had to put out this firmware update, I guess because they knew this massive Windows 10 update was coming. And I can't imagine what circle of hell it must be like to be in thrall to outfits like Apple and Microsoft in this case. And have to drop everything and recode because some dude at Microsoft has decided to tinker with the operating system. Fuckers. Reminds me of the old joke about how does Bill Gates change a light bulb? He doesn't. He just declares darkness to be the industry standard. Or the guy who was up flying around in an ultralight aircraft and he had lost his bearings and he didn't know where he was and he was somewhere in the Great Northwest. And so he flew by a big building and he got a dry erase board out and in big bold letters he wrote, "Where am I?" And a guy at the window held up another message board and said, "In an airplane." And the guy was immediately oriented because he knew he had just flown past Microsoft headquarters because a perfectly reasonable question had yielded an answer that, while technically true, was utterly useless. And so he turned around and flew to the airport and arrived safely home. Welcome to my world. I know. Trying not to. Gentle and kindly advice coming from Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Try not to kick anything. Yeah, it hurts my little toes. Yeah, I know. Ron in the... Well, is Ron in the far frozen north? No, I think Ron... Is Ronnie, you still in West Virginia, buddy? Your issues got me to thinking. People talk about first world problems and third world problems. I often wonder what happens in the second world. In the second world, does everything there just work simply and well without all those cool features? But then again, we've been having audio issues for the last couple of days. For all I know, you know, with the robot voice and all of that. So maybe some of that was related to some of this. No telling. But a lot of... I got a pretty good idea of what my weekend's going to be about. But this is also kind of a pain in the ass for Friday on the front porch, if I can't figure out how to get audio through USB. Who knows? And there I was with plans for, I had some ideas of how I wanted the program to go. Those plans are largely, they're by the wayside now, unfortunately. Let's see. One of the things I should have done a while back, is this program begins every evening with gratitude. And this is our day when there are, because it's the 29th, this is our day when there are no subscribers. We have no subscribers on the 29th day of the month. So this is the day when we extend thanks to all of our Patreon subscribers. Because they, along with the rest of the subscribers over at Skype, make up about a quarter of the funding in any given month here. And so, I'm pulling up the list now. There we are. Thanks go out to Terrace out in California, to Hamilton. Thank you, Hamilton, in Texas, to Brother Deacon Asa, to James in New York. Thank you to Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you to Lori in California. Thank you to John in Wisconsin, to Ruth in Ohio, to Nick, also in Ohio. Thank you very kindly to Alex in Kentucky. Thanks to our buddy Horst in Taiwan. Thank you to John in Maryland and to Barb in Minnesota. Thank you to Frank. Thank you to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you to Joe in Cleveland, and thanks to James in California. Thanks to Annette in Massachusetts. Thank you very kindly to Barb in Philly. Thanks to Greg in North Dakota and to Ron in Delaware. Thank you to Aaron in Maryland, and thanks to Tina in Maryland. Kimberly, thank you in North Carolina. Thank you to Carl in Texas. Thank you to our buddy Hung Like Jesus down in Georgia. Thank you to Jenny in Milwaukee. Thank you to Vernon in San Diego, to Andrea in California. Thanks to TJ in California. Thanks to Frank, a patron of the Fab Machine. Thank you, Frank. Thank you to Albert in North Carolina. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, James. Thank you, Trey and Glenn. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Alec. Thank you, Kay. Thank you, Joanne and Marty. Thanks to John and to Kat in Ohio. Thank you to Joyce. Thank you to Robin in Ohio. And thanks to Greg. Those are that's the thank yous for our Patreon subscribers for the month. Thank you very kindly indeed. Now, this, of course, is Fundraising Free Radio. And, frankly, I'm trying to get my head out of my ass after all this technical bullshit so that we can hopefully have something resembling a program this evening, if only for an hour or so. I know. The admonitions are rolling in. Ron's admonition is exemplary of the type. Namely, I thought I told you, don't allow Microsoft to update your machine on their schedule. Losing settings is standard for their updates. You can set your own time for updates. Well, yeah, I didn't let them. I mean, I didn't let them. I took it because it was there. But anyway, Ron notes, I found out today my doctor is a graduate of WVU. I just wish he'd wear shoes in the office. Well played, Ron. Well played. Yeah. Gary, meanwhile, noting, we are Microsoft. Resistance is futile. It often feels that way. It so very does. Oh, thanks. In the chat room, Jimmy and Texas T and Dowhead. There he is. Good to hear you, Bob. Good to see you there, Jimmy. Thanks for not bailing out. Texas T says, yes, but in the voices of Sonny and Cher, we got you, Bob. I'm so glad. I wish that... it's been... You know what? It's been a week of frustrating technical bullshit. And there's there's another Borg reference, courtesy of Keith. Obligatory Star Trek reference, except the updates are be assimilated. Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, Ron and Raleigh, you're going to have to sick that law firm. What was their name last night? Harder, Wiener, Cummer, and Cooch? You're going to have to sick them on Daily Kos. I got another email from Daily Kos that is subject lined Bob, Bob, Bob. This aggression will not stand, dude.
I just hope I can get this sorted out in time for Friday on the front porch tomorrow. Otherwise, this is going to suck. I think after I close the mic, I'm also going to beat a hasty path over to the liquor store so that I can make sure and have the absolute worst bottle of tequila available for moments of high frustration. Might even have to run next door to Wally World and get a brand new swirly straw while I'm at it. Now Rock Gut Tequila, what do you favor? Pepe Lopez? Montezuma? The dreaded Two Fingers? Certainly nothing that's 100% agave. No, no damn way. Mm-mm. Well, sounds like, okay, Ron is not yet back in the soon-to-be frozen north. Heading back to Canada on Saturday, Ron says. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa provided me with a photo from out in far Vancouver of a pick-em-up truck with Vancouver plates, mind you, and the devil's diaper, you know, the Confederate flag decals festooned across the back glass. Upon further review, we decided he was a member of the Canfederacy. Canfederacy. See what I did there? Yeah. Yep. Great bad minds think alike. Darlene said, thinking the same about the Horns' new law firm. Harder, Wiener, Cummer, Cooch, and Snatch. I know, says Darlene. I'm terrible. But in a delightful way. Absolutely. So just playing a little bit of catch-up from yesterday. You can't just... Well, this isn't even from yesterday. This is brand new, and it makes a lot more sense than, say, it did in Virginia. The governor of Alabama is a woman by the name of Kay Ivey. And she's had her, she's had no small number of problems when she was running for the Republican nomination to be governor some more. Remember, she only became governor because the governor under whom she was lieutenant governor, Robert Bentley, well, he got busted in flagrante delicto. Again, that's Latin for bed. With a woman not his... Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, family values wife. And there are even recordings of him telling the said hussy. And that's not sexism. She was a hussy, and he was a huzzer, I guess. That he just loved to get together and squeeze her big old breastises. Christian values. It was bad enough. You know, you got to work real hard to get thrown out as a deacon in a Southern Baptist church. I mean, those people run out, and they will run out, and they'll vote for Donald Trump again, even though he's putting little Christian children in cages. Oh, well. Among other things, when she was running for her own term as governor, her Republican opponents pointed out that she was an alcoholic lesbian. Ah, well. Yeah, she denied in any way being a lesbian. That's an attempt at humor. But now we find out that she's been having a lot of fun all along. She went to Auburn University down on the plains. And it was back about 1967. George Wallace had stood in the schoolhouse door about 7 years before and declared, "Segregation yesterday, segregation today, segregation forever." And then wilted when the people with the guns marched in, you know, them Union troops. Well, 7 years later, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey was a young woman matriculating at Auburn University. Well, apparently a recording has since come out. Not that I can play it for you, mind you. And Kay Ivey apparently did a skit, of course, in blackface. Ben LaRavia, at that time Kay Ivey's fiancé, said she had on a pair of blue coveralls and she had put some black paint all over her face. We were acting out this skit called Cigar Butts. I cannot go into a lengthy explanation, but to say the least, I think this skit, it did not require a lot of talent as far as verbal talent. Verbal. Apparently, Kay had other talents, like for applying black face paint to her visage. In this skit, she was supposed to crawl around on the floor looking for cigar butts. I'm guessing here, that the cigar and butts was a bit of a double entendre, and that she probably presented her blue coverall clad posterior to the audience, because it certainly got a big reaction out of the audience. Yeah. Again, it was 1967. Only 1 year before had the first African-American student left Auburn. Back in 2013, Harold Franklin told AL.com, "I got tired of the crap." Because he said every time he wanted to study something, there was somebody from the university there to keep him from studying it. There had to be two lawsuits before he could even enter the university. Back in 1964. Remember, this is the same Kay Ivey who signed a death warrant about a day after declaring in regard to Alabama's assault on the reproductive rights of every woman in the state, "Alabamians value life." Mm-hmm. So, back in February, the photographs came out showing her sorority's members done up in blackface, because I guess they're still figuring out that that's not a good idea. Meanwhile, Kay Ivey has said she really has no interest in discussing the matter further, as you can well imagine. Because it's not going to be a good thing for her. And she's also going to brazen it out. And she's going to brazen it out using the Ralph Northam defense. So what? So let's find out if I've got audio coming from any of the sources here and see if we can check in with good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian governor, then Republican, Kay Ivey.
As I look at my fiancé across the room, I can see her that night. She had on a pair of blue coveralls, and she had put some black paint all over her face, and she was, we were acting out this skit called Cigar Butts. I cannot go into the lengthy explanation, but to say the least, I think that this skit, it did not require a lot of talent, as far as verbal talent, but it did require a lot of physical acting, and such as crawling around on the floor looking for cigar butts and things like this, which certainly got a big reaction out of the
audience. Damn, that show is funny, isn't it?
Would you like to defend yourself from that?
That's so funny, crawling around. Because see that's where the comic genius is. You pretend to be an African American person who is so poor they have to smoke other people's cigar butts. Oh, I don't care who you are, that's funny. My goodness gracious, what a knee slapper that was. I bet all them little white children down there at Auburn just laughed their little white asses off. But hey, this is helpful. We got audio coming through. That's a good thing.
This low position that he's placed you in now.
Well, that was just my role for the evening. I'll tell you another funny thing that happened. It was about the end of the show, and the judges had retired, and Tom Malloy, who was directing it, told us, all right, we've got about 5 minutes. He said, just go tell about three jokes, and the judges will be ready, and that'll be fine. So Ben had two, and I had two. So we went out there and began to tell our jokes. Well, Ben told his, and Kate, won't you tell yours? I couldn't think of my joke. I knew both of them, but I could not think of them, and I panicked. I said, that's all right, you go ahead and tell yours. So he did. And all this time, I was back there scratching my head, and to save my life, I never did remember that joke, so we had to wind up singing a song that I had learned at camp, and then I forgot the punchline on the song.
This brings back something else that I thought was quite funny that night. Kay went out with me one time. We were just going to do a short intermission skit, and whenever we came back behind the stage, she says, I saw Dean Foy out in the audience. I says, good. She says, I'll tell a joke on him. So I went back out there at the next intermission and just told this elaborate joke on Dean Foy. I just went into a lengthy explanation of it. And lo and behold, I came to find out the next day that he wasn't even there.
Who else was it out there that might
have
been
no there? Idea, but Dean Foy's got a double.
He's the object of quite a few jokes around here, isn't he?
I think from time to time, just by virtue of his position, that he catches the brunt of a lot of jokes.
We've been talking with Kay Ivey and Ben LaRavia. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk with Dean Samuel Coker. Dean?
Notice the ease, almost the blasé quality of the audio. Well, I mean, we was just doing a skit. Now, presumably she had a microphone in front of her and knew she was being recorded. Well, the tape, the recording started making the rounds.
See, back in 1967, she was president of Alpha Gamma Delta Sorority. And that's when all of this took place. But, well, okay, not president, vice president. So when the recording started making the rounds, she had to issue a statement, and she said, "I have now been made aware of a taped interview that my then fiance Ben LaRavia and I gave to the Auburn student radio station back when I was SGA vice president." Made aware of a recording? You went to the radio station, talked into a microphone, and weren't aware that there were and the reels of tape going nerp, 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 around and around and around, and you didn't know you were being recorded. Guessing she didn't graduate Phi Beta Kappa. "Even after listening to the tape, I sincerely do not recall either the skit, which evidently occurred at a Baptist student union party." That would be Southern Baptist, by God. "Or the interview itself, both of which occurred 52 years ago. Even though Ben is the one on tape remembering the skit, and I still don't recall ever dressing up in overalls or in blackface, I will not deny what is the obvious. As such, I fully acknowledge, with genuine remorse, my participation in a skit like that back when I was a senior in college. While some," and she doesn't in any way attempt to describe who the some might be, "while some may attempt to excuse this as acceptable behavior for a college student during the mid-1960s, that is not who I am today. And it is not what my administration represents all these years later." Been a bad week for white racist Republican politicians. Joe Walsh showed up and got the skin grilled off of him by John Heilman, and tried to say, "Well, I sent racist tweets, but it doesn't mean I'm a racist." I mean, honestly, who thinks that? Because it really does kind of mean that you are. Nah, there's no kinda. You are. And here's Kay Ivey saying, "Just because I did racist things back then doesn't mean I'm a racist now. I got all over it. I offer my heartfelt apologize for the pain and embarrassment this causes, and I will do all I can going forward to help show the nation that the Alabama of today is a far cry from the Alabama of the 1960s. We've come a long way for sure, but we still have a long way to go." Yeah, some, Kay, have further to go than others do. And in point of fact, it's not so much a slope as it is a waveform. As Alabama moved from the 60s into the 70s, even George Wallace repented. And by the time he died, he was actually beloved by some of the black community in Alabama. But beginning with the 1980 presidential campaign of Ronald Wilson Reagan, old 666 himself, and he showed up in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the little town with scum in the middle, where also there was a longstanding dedicated Klan presence, just like there was in Neshoba County, Mississippi, where he made his dog whistle to white supremacy campaign kickoff speech. Well, that's when that waveform starts going down again. And it's been on the downhill slide ever since.
I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Roy Tola Moore, the guy who, among other things, creepered on Santa's little helper in the mall, has joined the Alabama Republican Party in demanding that the Constitution be used to eject Ilhan Omar from the House of Representatives. I guess it's a sort of reverse secession that they have in mind. The Alabama GOP being utterly oblivious to the idea that for them to take action, the white Alabama GOP, for them to take action demanding that a woman with brown skin born on the continent of Africa should be removed from the government of the United States really doesn't say that Alabama's gone as far forward as perhaps Kay Ivey would like us to think. Because, well, Kay Ivey, as the Republican governor of Alabama, is the titular and de facto head of the Republican Party of Alabama, and she could have stopped that had she so chosen. She did not. Representative John Rogers, a Birmingham Democrat, said, if she did that, she's insensitive. She needs to step down. She needs to be governor to all of all people. It's not acceptable at any time or place. Do us a favor and step down. Meanwhile, Wandolyn Given, also a Birmingham Democrat, well, in response to Kay Ivey's statement, she gave a statement of her own. I don't care if it was 52 years ago or yesterday, she's the governor of the state of Alabama, which is still considered one of the most racist states in the United States. This is who she was then, it is who she is now. I have nothing for her. I don't accept her apology. She should have stood before the people of Alabama herself. She should resign. I don't think she should have been elected, and I think she is a racist. Given continued, it is the realization that she is who she is. Dr. Maya Angelou said, when people show you who they are, believe them. And just as she stood there in blackface, how many times has she said that word that has all the same letters as ginger? Wandolyn Given said, I'm going to say the word. That is the question black folk need to ask themselves today. I am unapologetic for anything that I just said. Meanwhile, Mike Ball, a Madison Republican, said, obviously somebody found something stupid she probably did when she was in college, and I'll just say that I'm so grateful that we didn't have Facebook in the 60s and 70s. People do stupid things when they're young. I know that I'm not the same person that I was when I was that age. Now, you want a real giggle? This cat is the chair of the Ethics and Campaign Finance Committee in the House. Yeah. I'm not the same person I was when I was that age, and I don't think Governor Ivey is either. And you know what? Nobody else is either. One of the wonderful things about life is that we can learn and we can change over time. Our society has changed and we all change. Humans are dynamic creatures. Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's a big difference between Kay Ivey and Ralph Northam. Ralph Northam, it took a little while. But Ralph Northam showed up live in the flesh and talked to reporters about the whole thing that had touched him and that he had done and that proved so hurtful and toxic upon its discovery. So essentially, Kay Ivey is saying that I guess she has multiple personalities. That there was a Kay Ivey back in 1967 that did blackface and mocked American citizens for the color of their skin. But that somehow or another, and apparently Mike Ball of Madison, Alabama, agrees, somehow or another, she is now an entirely different person who never did that. Showing himself to be a bit of a statesman, Bobby Singleton, a Democrat from Greensboro, Alabama, he's the Senate Minority Leader. He said, I appreciate the governor for at least stepping out as it came to her attention and being willing to make an apology ahead of the story. While this is something that could be painful for those of us in the African-American community, as someone who has worked with the governor and as lieutenant governor and who has built a working relationship with her, I am not apt to hold her totally responsible for something that happened 52 years ago. On the other hand, Representative Terry Sewell is the only Democrat left in the congressional delegation from Alabama in Washington. And she said, racism in any of its forms is never acceptable, not in the 1960s and not now. Governor Ivey's actions were reprehensible and they're deeply offensive. Her words of apology ring hollow if not met with real action to bridge the racial divide. Jesus. Meanwhile, the Alabama Republican Party, you remember the Alabama Republican Party. We were talking to him, talking about him just a minute ago. The bunch that called for an African-American woman to be cast out of the Congress of the United States. Yeah, that Alabama Republican Party. They said, the Alabama Republican Party appreciates and supports Governor Kay Ivey taking ownership of and responsibility for this 50-plus-year-old incident. While it occurred when she was a college student, Governor Ivey has stood up, admitted her mistake, and offered a sincere apology, though she has no recollection of the event. Well, at 74, if she's losing her memory, maybe it's time to step down. Her extraordinary record of public service shows her ability to work with all people, regardless of race, religion, or party affiliation. Yeah, that's why she was so eager to try to sign away the reproductive rights of every woman in the state of Alabama. She can work with all people, regardless of race, religion, or party affiliation. Nothing in there about no gender now, is there? We stand with Governor Ivey, uniting our state for a great future. Now, see if I had playback through the, maybe we'd fire up Neil Young singing "Southern Man" about now. Or maybe the drive-by truckers and the duality of the Southern thing. Nah. Let's don't say we didn't. Brother Deacon Asa, I sent racist tweets, but that doesn't mean I'm racist. I know you saw me gulp down that steaming turd, but that doesn't mean I'm a shit eater. There goes dinner for the folks in the mountain time zone. Thanks for thinking of them, Asa, because, well, you know, we think Eastern, we think Central, Pacific. The mountain time zone so seldom gets the love that it so richly deserves. Or the ruination of supper. Jesus. So that was just, once I got my wits about me, that was one of the things that I kind of had on my mind for the evening. Oh, and by the way, I think it was the fallout from Lawrence O'Donnell's revelation a couple of nights ago continued into yesterday and today. Beavis, or was it Butthead, the blonder one that doesn't have the beard now, is that Uday or Kusey? I'm not sure. He said, an apology's not good enough. Our company will sue. I certainly hope they do. Because it's going to, again, it'll be fun to get a look at those Deutsche Bank documents. Because discovery is a thing. Just like Trump spawn being intelligent isn't a thing. But the other one who's not Butthead or Beavis, Don Jr., well, he went to a political rally this afternoon down in Kentucky, Stan. Yes, lovely, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was a rally for the governor of Kentucky, Matt Bevin. You remember Governor Matt Bevin, don't you? That's the guy who, when his kids were little, and he found out that a neighbor down the street had some chicken pox going around, he took his youngins down there and wallered them all over the sick kids so they could get chicken pox too. Because he's just that kind of anti-vaxxer sort of scum. Well, he had a rally today, and people stayed away in droves. Ryland Barton covers the Kentucky State House for Kentucky Public Radio, and he posted a picture, fake news, of the Matt Bevin event in some big old gymnasium, whatever, in Pikeville, Kentucky. And it was so bad that people had to be called forward to get near the stage so that there could look like maybe there was some kind of a little bitty crowd. Matt Bevin is the least popular governor in Merca. He's got an approval rating of 32% and a disapproval of 56%. It's downright Trumpian. He also happens to be one of the most maggoty governors in the new 90 states of Merca. But this is where it gets funny. So there was nobody there. But nonetheless, Junior felt like it was incumbent upon him to speechify some. Yeah, he's doing some stumping for a bunch of Republican candidates. But it's, the people aren't feeling the love. And this sort of dovetails with KIV and Joe Walsh, because there was a moment where he felt compelled to explain why he, Don Jr., isn't a racist. Why? Uh-huh. He said that the GOP is a big tent, and it is diverse, and it's got all kinds of different Americans in it, and that he himself could not possibly ever be a racist because, wait for it, these are his words, get the hockey puck, I'm dating a Puerto Rican. Because, you know, Puerto Ricans aren't white. None of them. Not even the white ones. And then he started explaining to the tiny little handful of people who were there that he felt their pain because he went to boarding school in Pottstown, PA, and that makes him able to understand working class issues. Now take the hockey puck out and get a drink of the cheap tequila. And then he went on the usual tirade and said, this is not your grandfather's Democrat Party, this is socialism. Well, dipshit, it's not the Democrat Party, it's the Democratic Party. But we can't expect you to know that because you're a goddamn moron. If I'm a racist, I must be a really bad one because I'm dating a Puerto Rican. Of course, that whole dating a Puerto Rican thing obviates the necessity of pointing out that he abandoned his family, his wife and two or three spawn. Well, she kind of abandoned him. No, she didn't abandon him. She threw his ass out because he wouldn't get off Twitter and be a husband and a father. He seemed to prefer being a 24/7 dickhead. Oh, well. You'll have that. But yes, Don Jr. knows what it's like to work for a living because he went to boarding school in Pottstown, PA. Yeah. Going back to the business of suing Lawrence O'Donnell, Steve in New York, who is in fact a real live lawyer, says, let him sue. That would entitle MSNBC to discovery. You know damn well that everything that O'Donnell reported, admittedly wrongly and sloppily, will prove to be true. Yeah, it will. Just like practically everything in the Steele dossier has proven to be true. The only thing we don't have yet is the video of the Russian prostitutes going pee-pee on the bed where Michelle and Barack slept. Maybe we never will. On the subject of GOP diversity, Steve points out, yeah, they're diverse, white, off-white, mother of pearl, pasty white, doughy white. Yeah, not even any beige. You left off winter white, Steve. I thought you got a copy of the Gay Agenda every morning. So that's kind of where we are. I'm glad we got at least some program in this evening. But if we're going to have Friday on the front porch tomorrow, I'm probably going to be back here howling and barking mad and screaming, with the exception of the time that I'm asleep, between now and showtime tomorrow. So we'll call it a day, because this really did screw with my head. But we got some licks in. And that's a good thing. So thank you. Thank you for popping by. Thank you for putting up with my tardiness. And hopefully we'll have this misery sorted out in fairly short order. Cross your fingers. Thanks to Sparky for popping by earlier. I appreciate it. Hey, Steve. Steve from Georgistan, all around great guy. Get to feeling better. Steve told me he had a stir fry incident, and some grease popped and got him on the inside of his arm to the tune of some second degree burns, and I know how badly that hurts. So keep putting that Silvadine cream on. And be careful to Yeah, that's the thing. When you're dealing with hot grease and frying, you always want to make sure that whatever's going in that oil has been patted nicely dry, because otherwise water hitting 400-degree grease becomes, you know, explosive. On the way out the door, Jack with a note. Kay Ivey. So she did her blackface masterpiece when she was a senior in college while she was the vice president of her sorority. Performances like that, especially as a senior and VP, are all done as entertainment within the membership of the sorority, the associated fraternity, and some portion of the local Greek system. Yeah, remember, it was at the Baptist Student Union. You know, a religion founded on a brown guy. Ivy stayed in the sorority that condoned and promoted practices like blackface for 3 years before she was a senior, and she was an officer in that sorority who promoted and required those practices of her younger sisters in her sorority. Sounds like Jack has a pretty good working knowledge of, yeah. Far from an isolated incident that might slip her mind after a few decades, she was a leader in an organization that served to teach and carry on the practice of blackface and normalize the accompanying attitudes in the young women who voluntarily associated with each other and with her. Because fraternities and sororities are, first and foremost, voluntary associations. Yeah. Well said, Jack. Well said indeed. Thanks to all of you who join in to share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going. Thank you like I said, Sparky and Steve. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Ace at HeadOn.live. I have a feeling he and I will be teching along merrily. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. But always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.